Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan. I'll be your host here for the next 10 minutes, or aka 600 seconds. That's what we like to do. We're going to get you ready for betting NFL Week 3. And with me, as always, is former odds maker turned pro bettor. That's a fun character arc for you, man. Just like bad guy. It's
a full heel turn. I'm not sure which makes me somebody more like Robin Hood versus the enemy. It's hard to tell these days, J-Lo. I mean, you're in the social media sewer. You see how everyone is received on both sides of the counter. And alas, it's a battle we all continue to fight nonetheless.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep my clothes clean out here. That's all. As long as I can look at it. But that's Mr. Todd Furman, by the way, who's rocking the V-neck today.
Not a deep V, though. Like, I know. I mean, I made sure to try and clean it up. I really can't grow chest hair at this point in my life. I don't think it's ever going to happen. So we're trying to keep it clean and above board.
Over under on Todd's chest hairs, 2.5?
Depends on the day. Sometimes 3, sometimes but 1.
Depends on the humidity?
Yeah, it's all a question of exactly what we got going on there with the chest sweater.
All right, but big thanks for Todd for joining us as always. Todd, wheels are turning here in the 2025 season. I mentioned in my weekly NFL Underdogs column, which you can read at covers.com, that's a shameless plug, but I will say this season has been a little bit vanilla, a little bit dull so far, at least compared to what we had last year. At this time last year, like, survivor pools were on fire. We had a lot of big upsets coming down. So far in 2025, favorites seem to be doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and the big favorites almost seem invincible. Favorites of a more than a field goal, 14-1 straight up. Those 6+ faves, 6-0 straight up. Is week 3 going to provide that drama that we want so much, or are we just going to get more of the same here?
It's so wild to see, because you mentioned last year, and it was complete unadulterated carnage. You had dogs not just covering, but winning games outright, having everybody scrambling to adjust some of their preconceived notions going into the season. And here we are now. Do we already know who the good teams are and the teams that are vying for that first overall pick in the draft? Mm-hmm. It just begs the question, how big can some of these numbers continue to get if favorites are winning, and will we see gaudier and gaudier point spreads as the year progresses? But we're due to have a little bit of the upsetting of the proverbial apple cart, whether it happens this week or next week. It's going to come, and the numbers you mentioned in terms of favorites of 3 or more, absolutely staggering through just 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Now, I will say, against the spread results, pretty break even here, 16-15 leaning towards favorites. But like I said, I write this Underdogs column every week. Generally, I do quite well in the first, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season. There's value in underdogs, and I don't know if we're quite seeing that. Any reason behind that? Are bookmakers just getting better?
I think the market is definitely getting more efficient. There is no doubt about that. There's no such thing as a free lunch these days if you're betting the NFL, not like there was before. But what I think is fascinating, for years, everyone in the NFL, when you're betting the sport, said, you know what, if you can pick the straight-up winner, you're going to be able to cover the number. And to your point, that really hasn't been the case. I mean, you look at the historical trends, you pick the straight-up winner, they're going to cover 80-plus percent of the time, which always embraced the idea, if you're going to bet an underdog ATS, at least put 10 to 20% of your position on that team catching points. But we've had a myriad of examples so far this season where dogs are covering. They just don't have the bandwidth to get out there and win it. So we'll see if there's a regression somewhere. But it is fascinating to look at just 2 weeks worth of data thus far.
Yeah, those half-point hooks could be worth a lot more this season. So get on the happy side of a field goal or happy side of a touchdown, you might be doing all right. Before we do jump into the week 3 betting, we asked you to rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast on Apple Pod, Spotify, whatever it is that you listen to us with. And if you're watching us on YouTube, click the old like button and consider subscribing to the Covers YouTube channel, because beyond us, there is some great content on there for a ton of sports. We got great baseball coming up. College football is underway. There's a lot there, and it's daily great stuff. So go subscribe to that Covers YouTube channel. All right. I will say, I'm going to give people a warning. Turn down your headphones a little bit before the theme music starts, because it scares the shit out of me every single week that it goes. So, Chris, let's give 600 seconds on the clock and plug our ears. All right, we enter week 3, and that's when we could start maybe making some assessments on what teams are really, really like here. Todd, I've got some odds around what we've seen through 2 weeks, so we're going to play a little game of buy or sell. You tell me if you're buying or selling these odds markets right now, and these odds, of course, provided by Bet365. The Cincinnati Bengals, the burrowless, rudderless Cincinnati Bengals now. Adjusted win total is 7.5, the over minus 170, a little juicy. Are you buying or selling them without Burrow until at least mid-December right now?
I mean, look, J-Lo, you left out a key category with any stock. You can buy, you can sell, or you can hold. And for me, mm-hmm. I'm going to hold the Bengals right now at 7.5 over minus 170 because I do think their game on Sunday provides an opportunity for Jake Browning to go into familiar surroundings and maybe overachieve in terms of the way they're being priced. But you look at the upcoming schedule after that, and it is extremely daunting for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hold for now, but I do think this team suddenly now has a 9-win max threshold. So lean over at 7.5 minus 70, but I want to wait for a better opportunity to enter the market.
And you're asking a lot of a defense and an offensive line, which are absolute dog shit right now. So
that is correct.
I'm not getting involved, especially minus 170. I don't want anything to do with that. Indianapolis Colts right now, plus 130 favorites to win the AFC South. They're 2-0. Sanchez, their punter, has basically had the best seed in the house here after 2 weeks. He hasn't had to do crap ball. They haven't punted. Are you buying or selling the Colts on winning this AFC South?
What a tremendous story. I mean, Daniel Jones, a professional resurrection of sorts under Shane Steichen's leadership, but I'm not buying the Colts at plus $1.35. This is a stock I'd be looking to sell. Am I concerned about the Texans? No doubt about it. I think the Jaguars will be just fine. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Colts have their hands full going into Nashville this weekend. So the price just a bit too short. But what we're seeing from the Colts is damn impressive through the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I like the buyback on Houston. I'm going to talk about them a little later on. That's plus 250. They're actually the third overall favorite right now. They've played some tricky teams in the Rams and Tampa Bay. Final four. They play three of their final four at home. They play six of their last seven games indoors, which is very important for that team come those cold weather months. Kansas City Chiefs, 0-2. No playoffs is plus 150. Do you want to dabble in that market?
I'm selling the plus 150. Now, it is worth noting that the Chiefs' regression that we all expected to come at some point in one-score games has reared its ugly head through the first 2 weeks of the season. But look, they're a Travis Kelce drop away from being just 1-1. We were here a season ago when the Ravens were 0-2 and people wanted to sell all their stock. Things will be fine in Kansas City as they get healthier. So no, I am not buying the Chiefs to miss the playoffs at plus 150. It's sell, sell, sell.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to two very good teams in games with very tight spreads. Remember the Patriots used to do this all the time? They would start like 1-2 or 2-2, and everyone was like, oh, Brady and Belichick are done. They're done.
Panic button at the end of September.
Yeah. No, I'm not counting out Mahomes and Crow. Green Bay Packers right now, plus 325 favorites to win the NFC. They push past the Eagles at plus 350. Are you taking a big bite of that fat-ass Wisconsin cheese, or are you lactose intolerant when it comes to the cheeseheads?
Oh, I never say no to the Marsh Cheese Castle whenever I was given an opportunity driving through the great state of Wisconsin. But I am not buying Green Bay at such a short price. I'm selling the number, not because I don't think they're a legitimate threat to get out of the NFC. I think there'll be a better chance for market entry somewhere a little bit later in the campaign. Sure. So I'm selling the current price, although I'm buying the Packers.
Yeah, I also, if four of their next six games do come on the road. There's a buy-in between there. But the funny thing, their schedule doesn't do them any favors towards the home stretch, too. They're at home just twice in the final six games of the season. So that Lambeau frozen tundra edge, it's not going to be there when they need it the most. Last one here. Let's go Justin Herbert. He's getting some MVP buzz. His Bolts are 2-0. He's plus 800 for MVP. He's tied with Jordan Love, behind Lamar, plus 325, and behind Josh Allen, plus 300. Why or why not for Justin Herbert?
Hey, Pat, look at the Chargers, passing rate above expectation, top two in the league through the first 2 weeks. It's almost a complete change in their DNA. Just 8-1, though, a little bit too short for me to back Herbert in this particular market. Mm-hmm. Again, much like the Packers, love the player, love what they're doing, but selling the price, way too short a number for me to get involved.
I'll say why not. I mean, they got the inside track on the AFC West, and he's got a famous girlfriend, and we know how much that counts in the eyes of the NFL, right?
It's Madison Beer. I've never had that luxury in a famous wife.
I know.
I've never had that luxury.
Madison Beer, I honestly had to look her up. As a singer, bajillion followers on Instagram. I also looked up how much Taylor Swift brings in revenue, estimated revenue for the NFL. It's $1 billion. So why wouldn't you want that another pathway into that coveted young female market? With Justin Herbert and his arm candy. So why not? Plus 800 for MVP. Thursday night football. Todd, I will admit, I was high on Miami coming into the season. I liked what they brought to the defense. And when healthy, their offense had some weapons. Now, I will say it's a little too early to say that I am wrong. But the 11.5 point spread for Dolphins and Bills, it's kind of saying a little something else there. How are you betting this AFC East affair on Thursday night?
Look, I don't think there's reason to push the panic button for what the Dolphins are, at least offensively, through the first couple weeks of the season. Now, defensively, a much different story. I mean, this secondary is as cut rate as it comes. And if the Dolphins are going to be competitive in this game, they're going to need to score at least 21-plus points. If they're going to get to that particular threshold, the key for me is their running back in Devin Achane. Not necessarily what he can provide as a runner between the tackles, but what he can do as a receiver, especially against the Bills' defense, down Ed Oliver along that D-line, down Matt Milano in the linebacking core. We're not sure Teron Johnson is going to be a go. And what did Achane do against the Bills last year, J-Lo? 15 catches on 15 targets, more than 50 receiving yards in each of those games. I'm taking over his receiving total at 38.5.
Runs a ton of the routes, and they love that little short screen pass. All right, I'm going with Dalton Kincaid. 30-plus receiving yards, minus 110. Buffalo has these two talented tight ends, but Kincaid has been used more in the passing game here in terms of both route running and targets. And then Dawson Knox last week had some bad drops for them. Kincaid has caught 8 of 10 balls his way. He put up 48 yards in week 1, 37 yards last week in week 2. And Miami has given up some yards to tight ends so far in the season. He had 30-plus receiving yards in both matchups with Miami last year. Projections sit as high as 36 yards. I like Kincaid, 30-plus receiving yards, minus 110. Touchdown anytime. Odds provided by Bet365. Todd, who's scoring a touchdown here in week 3?
You know what? I'm going to go to the wide receiver position. It's been good and productive the first couple weeks of the season, and it'll be the Falcons and Panthers game. Normally people think, well, Drake London, he's a little bit undervalued, but he draws a very difficult matchup with J.C. Horn on one side. So I'm going to go for his running mate in Darnell Mooney. I love what Mooney can do to operate in space. This is a Falcons passing attack that I think has an excellent opportunity to get on track in the division. We've seen this number continue to climb, and I think Mooney, another week removed from that shoulder injury that had him miss week 1, gets in the end zone at plus 190.
You and I are picking on the Panthers because I'm also going with a Falcons player. I'm going with Tyler Algier, plus 260. The Falcons have this two-headed beast. Robinson, of course, draws the fanfare, but Algier would be a starter on just about any other team out there. He was a beast versus Minnesota. He had 16 carries, but he's active in the red zone. He did have a 5-yard touchdown to kind of ice that game. It was one of those Vikings let him score, and we hope for the onside kick. But this is a guy who does get the red zone touches. He had a massive day against Carolina in their most recent meeting. He's at plus 260 to score a touchdown here against this bad Carolina defense. All right, it's 2 minutes real time, which means our best bets for NFL Week 3. I'm going to go first, Houston Texans, +1.5 at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's just been babied here. They got to play two bad defenses in Carolina and Cincinnati, and it says a lot about the success of this offensive line. Yeah, they're keeping Trevor Lawrence clean, lowest pressure rate allowed, but somehow the QB can't actually hit his guys between the numbers. He has the worst one of the worst on-target rates in the land right now. Let's see what happens when Houston, which owns the highest pass rush win rate, gets in his face. Houston's won 6 straight in Duval County as well, +1.5. I like them as dogs in week 3.
It's not all about Trevor Lawrence being inaccurate. Brian Thomas can't go full alligator arms on 4th and short going across the middle of the field. But, you know, we'll go 1 degree of separation. You're making a case for the Texans off the wake of that loss against Tampa. I'm going to fade Tampa on a short week coming home to play the lowly New York Jets. And yes, I know, I took the Jets last week against Buffalo. That game was dead and buried at the end of the first quarter. But Tampa is extremely banged up. Looks like they're going to be down 2 cogs along their offensive line. We saw Houston pin their ears back. There's potential they could be down yet another starter in that group. And Baker Mayfield, for me, doesn't look 100%. In T-Mobile, we ride. Give me the Jets, +6.5.
All right. Going with Javonte Williams, over 16.5 receiving yards. It's minus 110. Williams has quietly been great for Dallas so far as the running back and showed his chops in the passing game last week against the Giants. He caught 6 of 7 balls his way. That tied for the 2nd most targets among running backs in week 2. He had 33 yards receiving. He logged the 2nd most snaps among running backs, and he's run the 4th most routes among running backs so far this season. Chicago could be down. It's 2 top coverage linebackers in week 3, so I like Williams, over 16.5 receiving yards.
Cluster injuries aplenty, gentlemen, on the Minnesota Vikings, both on the offensive side and the defensive side. I have some real concerns about them going out there, not just winning, but winning by margin. Of course, Jake Browning is a downgrade from Joe Burrow, but Jake Browning went into this building, a team that cut him early in his career and proved his mettle before. I don't love the Bengals long term, but I like him this week, +3. Give me Cincy on the road against the Vikings.
All right. I have to ask you, because I wrote a little something about this on the X or Twitter about it, and the line went 3.5 to 2.5 based on J.J. McCarthy being out. Now, I knew there were other injuries that were there for the Vikings. However, we knew about those injuries, and also McCarthy's not in. Do you think he was worth that pull, like through the key number of 3? And then obviously we see buyback now, but...
So for me, you know, when I dig into this game, it's fascinating for a variety of reasons. I mean, the Vikings offensive line is banged up. Carson Wentz is much more of a statue in the pocket. And I think McCarthy's mobility actually helped them out a little bit. The downgrade from Aaron Jones to Jordan Mason, not a big deal. But that Vikings defense is so banged up in this spot. I think Jake Brown is going to be able to pick apart the middle of the field against that depleted linebacker.
All right. I was surprised to see that big a line move based on a rookie quarterback going to a backup and a rookie quarterback that's been good for about 15 minutes. But
yeah, it was interesting game because we saw 4.5 on the look ahead for Cincinnati with Joe Burrow in the mix. Number comes down, as you mentioned, to 2.5. J.J. McCarthy gets ruled out. And so a lot of conflicting indicators here, and I think it's all about how you evaluate the downgrade of quarterback for both these teams, but it's the injuries for the Vikings that are just way too hard for me to ignore 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah, definitely not the game we wanted. The Carson Wentz, Jake Browning Bowl. No.
Not in the least.
No. All right, well, you would have heard the horn a little while ago, but that meant that there was another 600 seconds in the can. That is it for NFL Week 3. Big thanks to Chris behind the scenes. Todd, a big thank you to you. A special thanks to Bet365. And of course, thank you for spending 10 minutes of your time with us here. Reminder again, please subscribe, rate, review the Sharp 600 podcast, whatever platform you watch it's on, like and subscribe, do all those things. Let us know what you're betting. Let us know what you want to hear on the show. We love that feedback. Todd, week 3 is about that time when we know just enough to be dangerous. Any words of wisdom before we depart?
Well, look, I mean, we didn't cover the biggest game of the week, one that's going to happen on Monday Night Football between the Baltimore Ravens and Lions. And I think that is the seismic showdown that'll tell us which of these teams is where they want to be so early in the season. I mean, Baltimore, a bit of a fraudulent win. If you dig into that box score against the Browns, the offense looked relatively anemic. They created short fields. Detroit, they were terrible offensively week one, bounced back with aplomb week two against the Chicago Bears. But it's a Bears defense that made J.J. McCarthy look good. So a lot of conflicting indicators and data points thus far. But J-Lo, what I'm 100% confident in, your Cowboys defense, whoa, baby. It's going to be a fun group to watch and get every fantasy player going up against the Big D into those lineups each and every week all fall long.
I will say it. I bought back Russell Wilson last week. I had the neighbors over on receptions, which needed that crazy touchdown catch at the end there to go over. And I had the over in that game. So I had that one pegged. I knew that this defense was not going to be good, even with Micah Parsons, and it was pretty shaky. And then they have those injuries in the secondary. One of my first bets of the week, I took the over in Chicago and Dallas. I think that one's shaping up to be kind of a shootout. Two teams that, you know, get the capable QBs under center and a lot of weapons out there. But yeah, that defense has a lot of work to do. It's the Matt Eberflus revenge game, if that counts for anything. But yeah, that Monday night game is going to be a lot of fun. I was able to grab Lions +6 early yesterday morning before that big move. That look ahead was 3.5. And we're basing this on really, you know, a lot of injuries for the Ravens that don't look great.
Yep.
Vannoy, Humphrey. And then you're kind of discounting the Lions for having a dud in week one, but they looked fantastic last week. So I do like the Lions and the points in that one. I got a really good position. I think it came down to like 4.
Yeah, kind of 4.5 Wednesday morning as we record. So great to get on that secondary key number of 6 for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back next week, next Wednesday for NFL Week 4. It's crazy. We're at Week 4 there next week. But until then, best of luck with your bets in Week 3.